Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. We know our Old Testament lesson today illustrates a problem that has dogged humanity from the very beginning. And our gospel lesson today from Luke 18 speaks to that problem. Here's what I'm talking about. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world by rebelling against God in the Garden of Eden and eating the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. Things went downhill fast. And by Genesis chapter 4, the rebellion of the first generation led to murder among the second generation. Cain was angry at God and jealous of his brother Abel. And his anger and jealousy led to murder. But here's the mysterious part of this sordid story. Genesis 4 says, The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, the Lord had no regard, or he saw no value. And that's what made Cain so mad. So why didn't God value Cain's offering, but did value Abel's? Was there any real difference between Cain and Abel's offerings to God? Or did God just hate Cain for some reason? To find out, I checked with our favorite Hebrew scholar, Chad Berg. And here's what he had to say. Cain was confident that his offering would be pleasing to God because Cain believed his own qualifications commended him to God. Qualifications including the fact that he was the firstborn. In fact, his parents, Adam and Eve, believed Cain was the Messiah promised in Genesis 3:15. Abel, on the other hand, recognized that he had nothing to commend him to God. He was not the firstborn. He had no status, but he approached God not confident in his own qualifications, but he approached God confident in God's goodness and mercy and compassion toward him. So here's Cain's problem. Cain believed that he deserved God's favor and was angry when he didn't receive it. In other words, Cain was self-righteous. Abel, on the other hand, recognized that he didn't deserve anything from God. And yet he had confidence in God's mercy, which is a perfect entree to the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went to the temple to pray. As we just read, Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. I'm going to read that again. He told it to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Jesus was referring to the Pharisees, but he could have been talking about Cain also. And for that matter, the accusation of self-righteousness could be fairly leveled at all of us, especially these days. Here's a quote from theologian David Zoll. "We are living in a time marked by deep division and acrimony. People from different backgrounds and ideologies have never had a harder time talking to or listening to one another. And the result is a fraying social fabric that infects our day-to-day with the worst kind of tribalism. You can't turn on the TV or peruse a news website without breathing in some of the fumes. Why is our American society so divided right now? Is it because all of our politicians are corrupt liars? Is it because the news media cares more about profit and cares nothing about truth? Why are there such deep divisions among us? It's because we trust in ourselves that we are righteous and treat others with contempt." Exactly what Jesus condemned. Immediately after that statement, Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You know, Jesus raised eyebrows on a regular basis. But this is one of the most scandalous, shocking, over-the-top, appalling parables of them all. And to fully appreciate the parable, you need to understand who the tax collectors were and who the Pharisees were. First century Jewish tax collectors were hated, and for good reason. They took money from their fellow Jews and gave it to the hated occupying Romans after keeping a generous slice for themselves. They were traitors, parasites, leeches. Any patriotic Jew despised tax collectors. They betrayed their own people. So who were the Pharisees? Well, even if a little boastful, they were renowned for their religiosity, and could honestly say, "I tithe, I give a tenth of all I get, I fast not just once but twice a week." A modern day Pharisee might say, "God, I thank you that I'm not like those non-Christians, or even like those non-committed Christians. I wear a what would Jesus do bracelet all the time. And Jesus is my first love. He is. I'm different from other people." So what's wrong with that? Nothing. If it were true. But it's not true. You're not better than other people. On the surface, you're not even all that different from other people. You're just another sinner. The difference is you are the recipient of a righteousness that comes from outside of you, the imputed righteousness of Jesus given to you as a gift. That's the difference. And as far as Jesus being your first love, I know this is really, really offensive. And I apologize for being offensive. But if that's what you truly believe, please read Romans 3 and read Matthew 5 and read Mark 10, please. Do you know why this parable was so scandalous, shocking, and over the top when Jesus told it? It's because at the end of the parable, Jesus pronounced the hated tax collector as the righteous one, not the esteemed, respected Pharisee with the "what would Jesus do" bracelet. Why? Why was the tax collector righteous? Well, it must be because that tax collector was so humble. Don't you think? It says he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Humility. Be humble. That's got to be the takeaway from this parable. Isn't it? No. That's not the point. Here's why. We're always looking for what we do to justify ourselves. It's always about me. Tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. I got this handled. That's why the Hebrew word for sin, when translated literally, means curved in on itself. We're all self-centered. I need to be humble. I can do humble. I got this. But here's the problem. First of all, you can't make yourself humble. Life makes you humble by beating you senseless. If it hasn't happened, it will. And second, and more importantly, that's not the takeaway from this parable. Humility is a wonderful trait, and it's often accompanied by wisdom and strength. But the point of this scandalous parable is not that you need to be more humble. The point of the parable is that the only source of your righteousness is Christ. So let go of your self-righteousness and be filled with gratitude, because you are the recipient of the righteousness of Christ, not because you've earned it, but because it's been given to you. Righteousness is always a gift given to you, imputed to you. It's not something you can earn by your good behavior or even your service to the church. Hate to say it, but it's true. The good news is you can relax. You don't have to keep score. You don't have to work harder. You don't have to do more. God loves you anyway. You can be like Abel instead of Cain. You can have confidence in God's goodness and mercy and compassion toward you. You can be at peace. And in those periods of your life when you just can't see God and nothing makes sense, in the midst of tragedy or sadness or profound disappointment, when your prayers sound like screams of rage, there will come a day when the clouds will part. God has not abandoned you and never will. Just like the sinful tax collector in the parable, you are justified, forgiven, accepted, and loved by God. Your future is bright. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given to us all that we need, and in fact have justified us, proclaimed us innocent, and await us at heaven's doorstep, not because of our goodness or anything that we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us, and we belong to him. Lord, fill us with gratitude for what you have done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.